Greetings and welcome to Vayikra, a special podcast project devoted to studying the parashiyot of Sefer Vayikra. We intend to have 5 podcasts each week during the weeks in which we are reading Vayikra on several topics within each seder. We'll begin with the beginning of Sefer Vayikra this evening. At the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Moshe Rabbeinu is found outside of the Mishkan, and Hashem calls to him from the Mishkan and gives him commands. We have to remember that Vayikra picks up immediately from the end of Shmot. It does not stand as an independent work, but rather, V'loyachol Moshe l'voel o moed, Moshe cannot come into the Oel, the cloud is over it, the Shekhinah is there, he cannot enter, and the very next thing that happens is Vayikra el Moshe. So Vayikra el Moshe both confirms and yet restrains. It confirms that the entire purpose of the Mishkan, which was already outlined back at the beginning of the commands of the Mishkan, which is V'no'arti sham livnei Yisrael, Hashem says, I'm going to meet there, V'dibarti itcha sham Moshe, I will speak to you from between the two kruvim, that has finally been accomplished after months of work and of collection and construction and dedication and inauguration. And now Hashem speaks to Moshe, and yet we still do not see Moshe going in. Hashem speaks to him from the Ohel Moed and gives the command. But notice what the nature of the command is. And it's elegantly ironic, if you will. Is that Moshe, who was able to enter the cloud of Har Sinai, who was able to walk into the fire atop of Har Sinai, who was able to be in that proximity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here in front of all of the people, as the cloud descends, Moshe cannot come into the Mishkan. And now what is it that Hashem says to Moshe? That very first statement from the Ohel Moed, Daber al Bnei Yisrael. That the commandment here is not you, this is how you, Moshe, will be able to come in, but rather speak to everybody. V'amarta alehem, and this is what you tell them, Adam ki akriv mikem korban l'Hashem. If any man among you wants to offer a korban, or shall we say more properly, wants to set up the ability to bring himself close to Hashem, then, min ha-beimah, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzon, takriv et korbanchem. Let's try to understand what's going on. And as a general introduction to Sefer Vayikra and Torah HaKorbanot, there are, of course, myriad ways to view the institution of Korbanot. But as far as studying the text goes, there are, again, lots of different ways to approach it. But there is one general division that we have to set up at the beginning and determine which approach we're going to take. One is to look at it from the perspective of the Zitzim Leben, the anthropological and historic and cultural background that Am Yisrael finds itself in, with a world filled with animal offerings, as the Rambam built his entire case about Korbanot in the famous passage in Mor Nevuchim, or to see Torah HaKorbanot existing independently of that as its own system, working with its own, not only its own parameters, but its own wisdom. For the purposes of these podcasts, we're going to take the latter direction and not try to build off of the familiar surroundings that Am Yisrael knew and had grown up in, but rather a divine command, taking much more the direction of the Ramban, a divine command and system for how Bnei Yisrael are to achieve what it is they either want to or in some cases are obligated to achieve through Korbanot, and to view it that way. So as such, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe and says, Adam ki akriv mikem korban l'Hashem. If any of you wants to bring himself close to Hashem, what had Hashem himself already told Moshe at the great glorious moment of Kapara, at the great glorious moment of Rachamim, Vayavo Hashem al Panav, what had he said? Ki lo yirani adam v'chai. No man can see me and live. No man can come that close. Indeed, Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was able to come into the cloud, and even now he seems to be restrained from the cloud. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? If a man wants to come close, there is a vehicle known as Korban, which is an agency of closeness, in which a person takes an animal, and then that animal is brought close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a way of the person coming close. How does the person then achieve the closeness through the animal? That's something that we'll discover already in the first few psukim. So Adam ki akriv mikem korban lashem, min habeima min habakar min atzon takriv ut korban chem. So the very first command is, you have animals, so you can do it through the cattle, or you can do it through the flock. Over the course of the next couple of podcasts, we'll discover and explore why those particular animals, and why the birds, who do show up at the end of the first chapter, and other materials that could be used for Korban, are not mentioned in this opening sentence. One further note about this opening passage. We are accustomed to looking taxonomically at the Korbanot as fitting one of five particular types, and that is Olah, Shlamim, Chatat, Asham, and of course Mincha. And the reason we look at it that way is because in the first five chapters that comprise Seder Vayikra, we have the first section, which is the first three chapters, which is all one diber, all one speech, without a new introduction of Vayidaber Adonai Moshe L'Emor, which we have at the beginning of chapter 4, which is what Chazal referred to as Parashata D'Nedava, the voluntary section. And that is because the Korban Olah delineated in the first chapter, much of the Korban Mincha delineated in the second, and the Shlamim that is detailed in the third are all brought voluntarily, as opposed to the Chatat and the Asham, which are detailed at the end, are brought only when a person has incurred a particular kind of guilt, varied causes and varied levels of awareness and lack of awareness, and then he is obligated to bring a Chatat or an Asham of varied types. However, if you take a look at the beginning of beginning of Vayikra, and understanding that the entire focus of the beginning is the frustration of having this center of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the camp, and nobody being able to come close, and then being told, here's how you come close to Hashem, and it's not reserved for Moshe, or for Yoshua, or for Aharon Uvanav, it is available to anybody, then we understand that the first set of commands is, somebody wants to come close to God, here's how he may do so. But we have to remember that there are two different motivations going on. The motivation for what we call the Olah and the motivation for what we call the Mincha are essentially the same. And that is, somebody wants to bring himself close to God and is given a proper vehicle to do so, whether it be mammal, whether it be avian, or whether it be grain. Even though the Mincha is not called an Olah, from the perspective of the person offering it, it's all the same. Because my motivation in offering an Olah, my motivation in offering Olah Ta'of, the bird Olah, or my motivation offering a Mincha is, I want to give something that's going to be totally given to God. The fact that God chooses to say, the Olah Ta'of all goes on the Mizbeach, and the Mincha only a little bit goes on the Mizbeach, and I give the rest to the Kohanim, is not particularly my business as the donor. As the Israeli donor, I know that I'm giving it to God, and my motivation is all one. So taxonomically, it may be more appropriate to look at the first two chapters as all parts of an Olah. The Olah, which is a mammal, the Olah, which is a bird, and the Olah, which is a grain. And how HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines which parts of those go on the altar, which are disposed of, which are given to the Kohanim, that's not my affair. The third chapter is a whole different story. And the third chapter is the story of the Korban Shlamim, in which, effectively, I want to have meat. But I want to have meat, I'm obligated, living in Machaneh Yisrael, living with the Mishkan right there, I am obligated to share that, or shall we say, to first dedicate it to God, have parts of it go to God, parts of it go to the officiants who then bring it, which leads us to a whole different understanding of the prohibitions of Dam and Chelev, which we will get to at towards the end of this series on Parshat Vayikra. And therefore we view the first two sets of korbanot, the first two types of korbanot that we have in Parshat Vayikra, not as olah, mincha, shlamim separately, but rather olah in which I am motivated to give it all to God, and shlamim in which I am motivated to eat meat and to celebrate, and I'm bidden to do so in the company of God, involving the kohanim, and involving a level of sanctity of how it's eaten, for how long it's eaten, etc., etc. Okay, we'll pick up in the next podcast, and we'll explore some of the details of the olah and some of the details of the mincha and see how they fit within this structure. Meantime, we should have a wonderful day.